Welcome to the podcast of New Covenant Church, where loving God and others is our greatest joy. We pray this podcast will be helpful in your understanding of God's love for you. Join us now as we enter his story, meeting Jesus on every page.
This morning, we are going to discuss a person by the name of Deborah. We're discussing women in the Bible. And Deborah is someone who's very unique in that she broke the mold, or God broke her mold and said, no, you're going to be used for me. And we're not going to worry about what the social conventions are, because what I have for you to do is more important than all of that. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Hidden Figures. Anybody see that? Great movie. It's a great feel-good movie. A movie of triumph. It's based upon a book by Margaret Lee Sheltry. And it's about these female mathematicians working for NASA, beginning in 1961 and then through successive years. But this film focuses primarily on three real ladies, Catherine Globe Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson. Mrs. Johnson was a mathematician, and she worked on the Mercury projects, calculating flight trajectories. And Dorothy Vaughan was also a calculator. This is interesting. I never knew this in history, that in the West Wing of NASA, there was a group of ladies, black, who were brilliant mathematicians and they were called human computers. Human computers. And they were amazing. And this, we wouldn't have been in space orbiting around with manned flights if it hadn't have been for them. And this one particular figure that focuses on, she was someone who, from a very young age, had just an incredible talent. And to watch all of these white men, when she walks into the other side of the campus and begins to work directly with all of those who are working on the Mercury 7 project, it was a great dynamic moment. And people really didn't know what to think, because it's not what you're supposed to do, is it really? I mean, especially back in 1961, you had to go to separate bathrooms. And women, women, you don't know smart things like that back then, you know. You just, how could you know? But they were brilliant. And they were so brilliant that everyone knew that in order to get the project done, they had to lean upon them. And it's the most heroic, wonderful tale of how a woman who isn't supposed to be doing this is doing it, and doing it really well. So well that everyone gives respect. In the case of Deborah, she lived during the time of the Judges. The Judges is sort of a dark book, really. She had come along about 160 years after the first judge. The Judges followed on the heels of the greats. You had Moses, and then the person that came after Moses, who succeeded him, was a guy by the name of Joshua. And you've heard of Joshua, very powerful warrior, went in, took the land, had faith. And all of the leaders that were with him, when they all eventually died, there arose these judges. And they were charismatic leaders who fought battles and rallied the people and eventually became tribal leaders, became the leaders of the land of all of Israel. But it wasn't really a strong, tight leadership. It was something that would change from time to time, because Israel had a problem during this time. When they went in to conquer the land, they were told to get rid of all of the Canaanites, to not have any of those folks around. They're going to come back and they're going to haunt you. Well, they didn't do it, and the Canaanites came back, and they haunted them in more than one way. They would chase after them, subdue them, raid their cities, but then they would also allow their daughters to intermarry with the Israelites and take on their gods. And so is this cycle of a couple hundred years of just continually falling, doing good, being saved by the Lord, you know, winning a battle, losing a battle, being subdued. And it was just, it's a sad tale. And a lot of the characters are pretty harrowing. But when it comes to Deborah, her name means bee, by the way. So she was pretty busy and carried a pretty big sting. But her being known as a judge, the judge job was exercise powers that we would associate with three branches of government: legislative, administrative, and judicial. She became a powerhouse in the land and turned the people back to God and gave them courage enough to do that. Courage enough to leave their despondency and the way things are and the status quo and the way things that are just continually getting worse and worse. She rose up as a leader who led the people not only by judicious means, by warrior means, militarily, but she also led spiritually. In the land was given rest in the end for over 40 years under her leadership. I don't want to talk about political things here today. What is the role of women in politics and church and so forth? We can leave that for private Bible studies from time to time where we can openly discuss the issue. This is a monologue. I'm speaking directly at you. So I want to stay true to the story. But I want to say this, ladies. Whatever social convention you may find yourself in, God may have another plan for you, and you need to stay open for that. Women are brilliant. Women are strong. Women are resilient. And I can tell you, I know that for a fact because I was raised by a woman with my sister as well because my father had died. Many of you know that. I've told you that before. But I've experienced it firsthand. And guys, ladies, it is a big, big mistake to ever underestimate a woman for any reason at any time. To ever underestimate a woman is to go against God's creation itself. And we should always question, okay, what we are doing when we say, look, a woman is the best person for the job. It doesn't really matter if she's a woman, she's the best person for the job. Whereas we'd say, well, that's typically held by a man. Well, God is not always typical. And life is not always typical. And social mores change and fluctuate from time to time in all the seasons. But in the end, Adam and Eve were created by God. Adam and Eve were created by God. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that we get to spend some time going over this fantastic woman by the name of Deborah. Lord, we don't know a lot about her, but what we do know and what you have given us is very encouraging and inspiring. And I pray, Lord, for the ladies in our fellowship that they too would be inspired by Deborah, Lord, to follow you wholeheartedly, even if it leads to territories, Lord, that may seem in opposition to convention. I pray that your women would shine bright in a culture, Lord, that needs to see that type of brilliance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look with me at Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Deborah, her calling was to be a judge. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, George W. Bush moment, right there again. It just happens. I can't control it. It just happens. She was leading Israel at the time. That is, in another translation, it would say that she was a judge in Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Now, she was, first of all, called to be a judge. We don't know much about her early life. We don't know anything. We don't know much about her husband. All we know is that she had a husband. She probably didn't have kids. None of them are mentioned. And she's also mentioned here, I'll just read it to you, in verse 7 of chapter 5, the villagers would go out to fight and they would held back until Deborah arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. So she sort of saw Israel as her child and her children. But for whatever reason, the people decided and the people knew and the people wanted her to be a judge. A judge was someone who would exact out justice and would decide between disputes between people. Oftentimes it would be at a city gate, but she was up there, it was north of Jerusalem, south of the Sea of Galilee, but she set her court up at this palm, a very special place, and she would hear the people's disputes there because there had to be some type of law and order. She was recognized by the whole country, it seems to say, that she was the undisputed judge and leader in that land. That was it. And you got there primarily because everybody knew it and everybody wanted it. You would find a leader that you want and you would make them and ask them and cajole them to come and be our leader. And so she was. And she was very wise, able to judge between disputes. Now, she was also called as a prophet. And a prophet was basically someone who would listen to God and speak to the people. They not only listened to the people, but they would listen to God. And this could be rare, because during this time of sort of loose leadership in the land, man, there was so much, it was so problematic and so dysfunctional that people would find themselves way, way off the rails. And you would find a prophet or a prophetess who would come along, and that person was totally devoted to the Lord. Not all the judges were, but the prophets were totally devoted to the Lord if they were a true prophet, and they would listen for God, and they would be the one person who could be a voice of reason in the midst of chaos, and that was Deborah. She was a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth. Now, her character, based upon all of this, was that she was wise. She was decisive. She was courageous and inspiring and bold. Listen, ladies, that doesn't have to look macho. Being macho is not necessarily a man's trait. It's just something that we learned over time to get along in life. But for you, ladies, what does that look like? What does decisiveness, encouragement, and leadership look like for you? That's a question that you should be asking, because those are not just qualities of a man. Those are qualities of a human being, an exceptional human being, someone who's been called out to lead. All right. There was a problem. The Canaanites and King Jabin and the commander Sisera were a big strain upon Israel, because Sisera was known, and it's written out throughout this passage, he was known for his 900 iron chariots. Whatever that is, it sounds intimidating. It would be like having 900 tanks, and all you have are some sticks and rocks and a couple of ponies. You don't have much there. And he had a big, big army. And so trouble was brewing. Trouble was brewing because she responds to their threat. And she was petitioned by the people in chapter 5 to come and to help them and help the people of the land. Wake up. And so what you find, something else I need to bring up here. There's a lot of complicated issues with this particular passage in 4 and 5. Chapter 4, literary style, is prose and historical information, historical prose. Chapter 5 is poetry and historical. So what you find is that both of them speak about the same events. One is more historical prose, the other is pure poetry, but they're speaking about the same event. That's why I'm going to be jumping around between both chapters today. But in chapter 5, we see in verse 11, you don't have to turn there, the voice of the singers at the watering places recite the victories of the Lord, the victories of his villages in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went to the city gate. Wake up, Deborah, wake up. Break out in song. Arise, Barak, take captive your captives, son of Abinoam. Barak was a person that she appointed as her chief commander. Chapter 4, verse 6. She sent away for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali. Now, Kadesh is at the sort of southwestern side of the Sea of Galilee, just kind of a pinpoint where they would be, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor." So, verse 8 through 10, Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you," said Deborah. "Because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera," remember the Canaanite commander, "into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun, Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command, and Deborah went also with them. Now, this is where things get sort of hot. They went up to Mount Tabor. They were planning to catch the army at the Kishon River. Now, I know you're thinking, what are these names and places? Feel free to look them all up, every one of them, and memorize them. I have many times. But instead of showing you some illustrations up here that really don't mean a lot to you, because the point is that we're looking at the character and nature of Deborah and the way the country leaned upon her. The commander of her forces, now get this, she had to be some type of warrior for him to say, "I'll go up and do it if you come with me." Because see, if God wasn't with them, if there wasn't a real leader there with them, somebody that could speak to God and God speak to them and speak to the people, if that person wasn't there, well, then it was a suicide mission. Because the Canaanite army with their 900 tanks could wipe these guys out at any moment. Now, they were able to muster up 10,000, which was pretty good, but it was no match. They were overpowered and outmatched. They needed the hand of the Lord, and they needed the wisdom of this judge, of this prophetess, of this warrior, Deborah. She was a strong leader. Why? How do we know that? Well, she got the people to rally. She got the right commander. She listened to the plans of God, and they won. Look at verse 13. Sisera immediately called up all of his chariots from the Kishon River, 900 chariots, along with all of his troops who were with him at Haroseth Hagoyim, which is the sort of western coast of the Mediterranean, right along that area. And Deborah and Barak, she said to Barak, "Charge. This very day God has given you victory over Sisera. Isn't God marching before you?" Barak charged down the slopes of the Mount Tabor, his 10,000 companies following him. God routed Sisera and all the chariots, all his troops before Barak. Sisera jumped out of his chariot and ran. Barak chased the chariots and the troops all the way to Haroseth Hagoyim. As Syria's entire fighting force was killed, not one man was left. If you read further in chapter 5, you'll find that in that area, when the rainy season comes, the Kishon River overflows. And so they were literally bogged down, and all of their chariots were immobile, and they were sitting ducks, And they went in and destroyed them, those, even chasing some who didn't get stuck in the mud slough, heading all the way back to their home place on the coast. They routed them all. But it's the voice of this one person with the tone and the timbre of the Lord's voice behind her. That is a person who everybody needs to listen to. When you know that someone is connected to the Lord and they listen to the Lord and they are really vested in all of this, and when they speak, there's that timbre of heaven, the timbre and the authority of the Lord, and you know, hey, this is God speaking. This is God speaking to us. We better move. We better take action. And she was that kind of person. As she carried that kind of authority. Now, look at verse 23. On that day, God subdued Jabin, who is the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the people of Israel pressed harder and harder on Jabin, king of Cana, until there was nothing left of him. Nothing left of him. When it says there's nothing left of him, it meant him and all of his troops and his armies. It was a complete rout. And it was amazing. So what did she do? She led all the people in a victory celebration. Judges 5, 1 through 3. And this is the beginning of that poem or song. They call it a song of Deborah and Barak. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with song. With song. You see, she had realized that all of this was done by God. Now imagine a country, okay, where not a lot of men want to take leadership at all. That means there's a strong sense of demoralization. And God raises up the heart of a woman who would be a mother to Israel, who would fight to the very end, who would listen to God. Listen, ladies, you have qualities and abilities that everybody needs. Everybody needs them. When there is full engagement and full participation in life, in your community, in your country, you realize is that God has not made one person better than the other, but all persons who are listening to him, willing to speak for him, no matter sex, race, age, those folks are needed in every community, everywhere. And ladies, if you ever feel intimidated and not up to the task, start listening to God and see what he says. God gives each one of us a passion. God gives each one of us gifts that are so beneficial, and rarely do we use them or reach our full potential because it's just easier to keep things the way they are. It's just easier to keep things the way they are. It's, you know, why do I want to trouble myself? And that kind of thinking draws us back into despondency that would say, you know, let somebody else do it, not me. But she said, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And she, when she brought out her courage, listen, everything changed. When she arose to the occasion, everything changed. In fact, verse 31 of Judges 5, at the end of it all, it says, so may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace for 40 years. They hadn't had peace for over 20. She brought in an era of 40 years of peace, and that was her time of rule in the land. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case for the subsequent leaders, but it was for her because she had listened to the Lord. One person willing to lead, willing to fill in the assignment that God had given them, and with courage rouse up a slumbering and despondent nation. And she did that and maintained that for 40 years. She was a great leader. She brought the people to celebrate. She's also a great leader. A mark of a great leader was that she gave credit to others. In fact, in chapter 5, verses 14 through 19, you find a list of people that she credits and the tribes that were involved and the tribes that helped out. She gave credit to all of them. Listen, if you're going to be a good leader, listen, you should always celebrate your victories. Celebrate your victories with the people. This is something that we all enjoy. Also, you don't keep the credit for just yourself. You know, it's just like, I did it and it was me. And all of you were so fortunate to be with me because I'm such a great leader. Isn't it wonderful? Just look at me. That wasn't her at all. She was a great leader. She encouraged all of those who were involved and thanked them and honored them. That's a mark of a great leader. Now, we come to something that has been a puzzling yet very gruesome and also intriguing portion of this story. Not only did she give credit to all of the neighboring peoples and lands that came in to help, but she sung the praises in her song of a gal by the name of Jael. Now, Jael was a typical housewife in that she understood what it took to put up a tent. By the way, that was the woman's job back then. And I think we should, you know, revive that when you go camping. Gals, I think you ought to put up the tent. Just don't go crazy with the tent peg. But so what happened is Sisera got away. And if you remember, Deborah told Barak, listen, here's the deal. Because you want me to go up with you, a woman is going to get the credit for this battle. And she's going to claim the power and the victory. Well, Sisera, the leader, the commander of the Canaanites, gets away. And he's been running. And he runs to this place, and there's a tent there, and this gal by the name Jael. Her husband was friends on good speaking terms with the king of Canaanites. So when she saw him, she said, quick, come in here, get in the tent, and I'll cover you with a blanket. And so she did so, and she goes, I won't say anything to anyone. Little did he know it would have been better if she would have told other people. But what she did is he said, well, I'm really thirsty. And so she gave him some milk and then covered him up in the blanket, and out of exhaustion, he fell asleep. Well, then what happens is she, while he's fast asleep, tiptoes up, sneaks up to him, puts the tent peg to his head, takes a hammer, and hammers it in so far that it sticks his head into the ground. Pretty gruesome, right? But I'm telling you, that's some pretty tough gals around there. I mean, you know, take action in hand right there. But she did that, and later on when Barak showed up with all of his armies, she said, come here, I'll show you the guy you're looking for. And his head squirmed on the ground. It was really gruesome the way they told the story. Now, in chapter 5, remember the poetic side, also historic? This is a part of a song, and I wanted to read it to you in the context of talking about Jael, because she is one of the people that Deborah honors. Verse 24. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for a tent peg. Now, you got to get some kind of melody going here. Her hand reached for a tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera and crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Now we come to the refrain. And her feet, he sank. At her feet, he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet, he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. I mean, it's like, wow. Imagine singing that on Sunday morning. You have this whole group of women's ministry known as JL. Guys look it up and they're like, I don't think you should go to that. And we're definitely not going camping. She was, Deborah was, God's person for the hour. It's really hard to solve all social issues. No one's been able to do it. We can preach, we can take sides, we can fight in the streets, we can vote. But I would say that there's been, ladies, last 100 years or so, a lot of advancement for your kind. And I say, keep going. You know, I raised my daughters up to be leaders. Go as far as you can go. Go as hard as you can. Be the best person that you can. Be the person that God wants you to be. Why? Because men are human beings. Women are human beings. God made human beings. And God can use any human being He wants to, for whatever reason He wants to. He can gift you, He can give you talents, and we should all applaud them like as if they had come from God. I love it when a person shows up who just knows everything, and they're just brilliant and amazing, and I get excited. I don't get jealous. I get jealous with people who have a lot of hair, but they are to be hated. Anyway, but I am so excited. There's a person I know, and I won't mention his name because, well, he's too much of a private person. But you spend 10 minutes with him, and he knows something literally about everything. And it's not like Cliff Clavin from Cheers knowledge. It's like real knowledge. And I'm just so happy to be around. I'm just happy. Gals, if you got a light, let it shine. If you got a light, let it shine. If you got something great, let people know about it. And don't let anything hold you back but God. God should be the only one holding you back. And see how far you can go and see what good that you can do. And let God be your judge. Let God be your judge. So it was with Deborah. She was God's person for the hour. She was God's person for the hour. You know, I brought up that passage. I'll read to you from Esther, verse 14, chapter 4. Speaking to Esther, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But your family, your father's family, will perish. And who knows? Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Esther shouldn't have been queen, but she was. She was risen up in a time when her people were in much danger. And she was given sound advice here. Who knows but that you haven't been risen up for such a time as this? So what is your time? What is your time? What are your gifts? What is your talent? What is your calling? I mean, don't count yourself out. Who knows but that you, ladies, have been risen up for such a time as this? To really, really, really make a difference for your people and for the world itself. I know that we face a lot of conflicting ideas about what it means to be a biblical woman, biblical man, what it means about what it looks like in our society today. Listen, the way things are in our society changes cyclically. It changes often. And what we're supposed to be and what we're to look like. the person that you need to be thinking about most is God himself. How does God want me to fit into this situation? And how does he want me to portray his goodness and his message in this life? If it's raising kids, then raise them great. Give them courage and honor and strength. If it's being a wife and managing a household and you love it and you're so stinking good out of it, everybody will love you. People down the street will love you. Everybody will want to move into your house because there's so much order and goodness there. If it's art and creativity, then do it with everything that you've got. Science, mathematics, on and on and on and on and on. I know it may not sound like much, but reading an article in Vanity Fair, just let it go. Don't even think about it. But I was reading an article in Vanity Fair, and they, every year, which means I had a subscription for a long time, they have the new establishment, and they show the top 100 people who are really influencing the world, and Steve Bezos usually shows up there all the time, you know, or Bezos, however you want to pronounce his name, at Amazon. But I counted through all of the top contributors and really the movers and shakers, and a quarter of them were women. Now you say, well, that's not quite 50%. I know. But some of the true shakers and influencers in this world right now are women. And so follow God, follow his giftedness with courage and leadership. Okay? Does that sound good? Hope it does. Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for ladies like Deborah, who you have gifted and you have really placed your mark upon. But I pray that the gals in our fellowship here would catch a glimmer and a light of heaven, that they too can make such a difference and do make a difference in the lives of all of us, all of the people around them. I pray you would bless them, strengthen them. Lord, that you would continue to gift them and use them for your kingdom and for your glory and for the benefit of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope this message was a blessing to you and thank you for listening. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. May God look you full in the face and make you prosper.